email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Kit and Caboodle. I was trying to think of what it was. Kit and Caboodle. My next guest has been on the show here plenty of times throughout the years, but I'm delighted to have him here today talking about his own show, because he's been on numerous reality TV shows over the years. But he now has a little documentary of his own, Should I Be Fixed? It will soon appear on BBC Real. Paddy Smith, good afternoon. How are you
Hello,
doing,
Paddy? How are you, Ray?
Great to see you. Back. Great to see you. Should I Be Fixed? A big question.
Yeah, a loaded term.
So you better introduce yourself again to people, because we can't assume. If people, if it was television, they'd know you immediately.
Of course, but on radio. So my name is Paddy Smith, and I am a social media disabled activist. So I was born with cerebral palsy within my legs, which basically means, in layman terms, that my signal from my head to my leg is slightly askew, and I walk with crutches full time.
Right.
And this whole premise of Should I Be Fixed came from my family always wanted to fix me.
Now, you can stop there. You've introduced yourself.
Sorry,
so that's fine.
Sorry.
So people would have known you from First Dates.
Oh, yes, yeah.
The Circle. And then there was the other one with your sisters.
Celebrity Pull Them Up My Parents.
Yes. Now, I'm fascinated about your relationship with reality TV.
Okay.
Because you were sort of enamoured by it.
Yeah, I was.
Besotted by it.
Yeah.
Seduced by it.
Yes.
All of those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're out the other side.
Yeah.
And why were you so besotted by reality TV, do you think?
I think that for a long time I felt I wasn't smart enough. Lots of people on reality TV aren't smart, but I felt like I didn't have anything but my personality. So I felt, because I was so different and because I grew up in the world of Big Brother and everything online, that maybe I would find my way within reality TV, because I never felt I was clever within school. So to have like...
So you knew you had something that was different.
Yeah.
Like your disability.
Yeah.
Your sexuality, you know, and then your personality, all that. It's sort of a triple threat of sorts.
And I just enjoyed looking at people on TV. I was nosy. Do you know what I mean? And I thought I'd be good at it. Do you know what I mean?
And it turns out you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you made a big impression when you hit First Dates. And then the biggest of impressions on The Circle, because you won it.
Yeah.
You know, that thing, was there, did you think, and we're all guilty of this, that we have something in our head and we go, if we achieve that, then that's happiness. That's
absolutely
it. We've arrived, everything is sorted.
Yeah, 100%. I've felt that for the longest time. When I got in The Circle and I won the show, I thought that was going to be like my life sorted, brand deals coming out my behind. Like, I just thought that this is going to be it, that people are going to love me, and it just wasn't that. And that's okay. And and that's my expectation of it. And I think that I was looking for happiness, like, on an external level, rather than looking within. I was avoiding certain things of myself and hoping that certain things would fix it.
And The Circle, quite the opposite to happiness, because you came out of there and there was a bit of negative reaction.
Yeah, I was probably a divisive character. Mm. So because of that, you know, I had love and hate, and I just wasn't ready for the amount of hate I got.
Okay.
Even though, like, they put me through psychiatrist tests and all before you go in, like, you know, there wasn't a bad duty of care with on the circle. It's just my expectation of winning a show. I thought by being the winner that you'd be kind of loved, and that wasn't the case within that.
Yeah, because it wasn't the public voting for you.
No.
And the other thing was that part of your intention was to show that, because we have this sort of cuddly image of disabled people, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, which is wrong, isn't it? It's a stereotype.
We kind of innately feel that disabled people are really good people all the time.
Why is that?
They're
not saying that you're not, but you weren't comfortable with that stereotype.
No, because
image.
I think that's a stereotype that isn't innately true. Because it doesn't mean, because I have crutches, that I'm a really good person. So, and I just don't like the narrative sometimes that disabled people are victims and, like, you have to look after them. So I, for a long time, maybe a little too far, went against that grain.
Right.
And wanted to show that, like, I could be a bit of a villain.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So
that's why you were a divisive character on The Circle,
I suppose.
Yeah. So, and I suppose timing wasn't great as well. You won it, you got 70 grand. I suppose it was in the UK, huge audience. You thought, you know, the phone was going to be rocking. And then COVID hit.
That was
So timing was bad.
Timing was bad. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So you had time to contemplate, look at yourself literally in the mirror.
Yeah, and I didn't like the person I saw, if I'm going to be honest. And I had a lot of time on my own and like I became quite self-loathing on myself. I felt like I was going to just be a washed-up reality star with nothing more to give and just didn't like the person that was looking back at me.
Who was that person?
Someone that was just, I don't know, I suppose someone that was like gasping for people to accept them and being versions of them that they thought would work for others.
Yeah, but I suppose...
But never...
When you have a disability as well, you see.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. And I suppose I didn't accept my disability fully. Like, I avoided... Like, I obviously knew I was disabled and I definitely, you know, like, of course I know that. But there was a sense of, like, if I avoided the disability, it didn't exist, almost.
Right.
Do you know? So I've done a lot of self-work and part of this documentary is probably therapeutic to me in that sense.
Yeah, so, Should I Be Fixed? Congratulations, because you got into the BBC under, what's the name of the programme?
So it was like a residency scheme. Right. So basically they picked like four people online from minority groups and helped them and like kind of build them in terms of presenting, how they pitch to commissioners.
Right.
So you had a six-month training course.
In the BBC?
Yeah. Yeah, and like you just do a massive interview. I'm really proud of that because it was a big process to go through.
And everybody seems to agree that the BBC is the best broadcasting company in the world.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm afraid to say because we're in RT at the
moment. We can't compete, you know. Yeah. They draw on a population of over 60 million. We've, you know, 5.1 million here. So it's different. So you got on that course and you pitched this mini documentary, Should I Be Fixed?
Yeah.
Which is a big question.
Loaded question, yeah, it is. Do you want me to tell
you
about
it? Yeah, that's why you're here.
So essentially, it was through everything and an accumulation of like, I've always felt my dad wanted to fix me. You know, society, I felt like I was broken in some way. Mm. And that was because of myself and how like I wasn't facing my own problems, and also because how society sometimes looks at people who don't fit in, or with a disability.
And you just remind people, because your mother, when you were in her womb, had cancer.
Yeah,
yeah, and they had to operate on her womb.
Yeah,
and you were born prematurely.
Yeah,
it was a lot of bad stuff going on.
Yeah, so I grew up in half a womb essentially.
Yes,
and then I came 3 months early.
Yes, and then when you were five, your mother died subsequently of cancer.
Yeah.
And then I suppose people were protecting you an awful lot from that.
Yeah, that narrative.
Yes.
Because I didn't know that my mum kind of had a choice whether to like obviously treat the cancer and probably lose me or have me and take her chances with the cancer.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So she opted for surgery and save you as opposed to...
Yeah.
All right.
So that was tough because I had an inkling about that, but I never fully knew. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you always have an inkling that could have been the case because I knew there was a lot of complications, but I didn't know the full extent.
Okay. So you were, as I say, sheltered and protected from that.
From that, until I was older. Yeah.
And part of this little documentary is you talking to Val.
Yeah.
And Val was 18 years your senior.
Yeah.
She was 23, 24 when your mother died, became sort of your mother in a way.
Yeah,
although
in some ways, your
dad remarried.
Yeah.
So you were talking to her and asking her questions that you've never discussed before.
No, about kind of how they felt about my cerebral palsy when it was diagnosed, about how my mother felt. I never really asked her how my mother felt about it because we didn't really speak about that.
Yeah.
And kind of like the complications and the arguments that they went through to what they should do with me and how we should go forward and, you know, how they felt kind of in the dark about what to do.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And they
decided not to like to treat you as completely normal. Was that was their plan of action?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. But I think it's very hard for a parent, you know, of a disabled child to because they always just want to protect them.
Yes.
And that protection can come, and sometimes overwhelming sometimes, but they mean it in the best possible way, because they think that who's going to be there for them when I'm gone? Mm. Do you know what I mean? So all they want to do is protect them from the bad in the world. And I sometimes took that as, you're underestimating me. So, you know, there was a...
You railed against it.
Yeah, yeah. But I know it was out of love as an adult. Do you know what I mean? But as a kid, that rebellion kind of gave me that zest for life that I wanted to prove something.
Yeah.
And the documentary is about kind of putting that question to the public. It doesn't have to be about disability. It could be about anything like beauty standards, gender roles. Like, we always want a fixed idea and label
yes.
things that we don't understand. So...
Now, you did speak to a medical professional about where science is at.
Yes.
And you're too old.
I am.
Yeah, because you're hardwired. You're wrongly hardwired, isn't that?
Yeah.
That
isn't that crazy,
yeah.
Ray?
Yeah.
Like, that space, if they fix that part of my brain that essentially is broken, if they fix that, my body is now hardwired to walk this way and has compensated in certain ways to help me walk this way, so that my body wouldn't be able to comprehend how to walk like you or someone else who doesn't have crutches.
And then you met Jennifer McShane, who also has cerebral palsy. She was she's a twin.
Yeah.
And her twin doesn't have cerebral palsy.
She's identical.
Identical. So she...
I found that fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah.
So she can see what she would be like if she didn't have cerebral palsy there.
I know. And I casted her, actually. I did a few interviews. And that was one of the things I thought, because I didn't think that could happen with identical twins. Because it's the same egg, essentially. So I was just so fascinated by... But she was like, also, her sister, who doesn't have the cerebral palsy, could feel guilt over the fact that she's the one.
Survivor guilt,
survivors.
I suppose,
So it goes both sides. So we go into that in detail as well.
Okay. So at the end, you're musing and you're asking yourself the question. And I suppose it goes without saying that cerebral palsy has made you who you are.
Yes.
And you've come to love that person now. So when you look in the mirror, you see a different Patti Smith.
Yeah. But I also think there's two sides to it. And it's always the same way. I'm always battling it myself. Logically, people say, like, if there was a fix, would I take it? And logically, the answer is, of course you would. Because why wouldn't you want to take it? But then there's an emotional element where it's like, I've worked so hard to accept this part of myself. And it's so intertwined in my identity. And how people interact with me and how I interact with the world is through the prism of this disability. So to lose that, I don't know who I'd be anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't want to tell you what I said.
No, I know.
Because
I don't
want to get involved.
Well, here's a question you didn't answer. I'm fascinated. Do you ever dream, as in, like, not notionally, but when you're asleep, as in a dream state?
Yeah.
Do you ever dream that you're able-bodied? Do you ever dream of running through meadows? Do you?
I have. I've dreamt of both. I dream of, like, you know, just walking around and, like, flying and all, you know, that stuff. But, yeah, sometimes I don't have my crutches and sometimes I do.
In your dreams, yeah.
Yeah, it's my dream. So my subconscious, like, of course it's always there. And it's just a hard thing to fathom for people. I know, I understand that. But I think that it's a question that we should ask ourselves all the time. Because is it me that wants to be fixed? Or is it society that's pushing me to want that?
Yes.
And that's...
So, without giving too much away, you know, that is... So attitudes be fixed as opposed to the individual.
Yeah, but it's also... That's a fix for me could be different to you. Do you know what I mean? So who am I to say that... You know, if my cerebral palsy was worse, that they wouldn't want to fix it. Or who am I to say if it was better, that they wouldn't? They would want to fix it. So,
the final thing is that what I took away from it was that there's a lot of pressure on parents of children with cerebral palsy.
There is,
yeah, because there's types
a certain
of fixes.
Window. There's a certain window.
Yes, yeah,
yeah, and I didn't realize that was a lesson I learned as well. So it was. Like a journey for myself
as well. Yeah.
Like there's a lot of pressure on parents to make the right decision, you know, because obviously the kid doesn't have the, like, you know, they don't have the idea of what to do yet.
No. Well, they can't anyway. They can't decide anyway. Yeah. Because
so there's a lot of, what did you think of it?
No, I thought you were brilliant in it.
Thank you.
No, like the BBC have worked really well.
Yeah.
The raw material was there, obviously. So you're a great communicator. It was very engaging, and it was very informative. And it worked in that, you know, you come away from it going, yeah, what should be done, or yeah, how should people behave?
That's good.
Should I be fixed? And yeah, great.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And it's bite size. It's 10 minutes long, yeah, and it's on BBC Reel, which is sort of their
YouTube.
And you're going to be doing more stuff with them?
Hopefully, yeah. So they've come back to me and want to do more stuff. But one thing I want to say is, the more clickbait this gets and the more conversation it gets, the better it will be.
For you.
For me.
So you're still doing the reality TV thing. Vote for me now. If it was on TV,
look,
be pointing at the number
look,
there.
You have to back yourself.
Listen, Paddy, what a story. Some people just have a rough start in life and he should be proud he has such a story to tell. What a trooper, says Marina.
So oh, thank you.
Great to see you. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well.
And as I said to you when you walked in, you're rocking the cravat. And that's your thing, is it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's my thing now. Don't, I'm sure a lot of people have done it before me, yeah, but I've decided that I want to bring this into my style.
Right, you're a cravat, yeah. Because are you wearing one on the cover of Life magazine as well?
That's actually the same one.
Oh, it's the same one. It's not on the cover, but in the picture on the inside, yeah. Looking good. Great to see you, Paddy.
Thanks so much
for coming in.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.